I don't know what it is. Say the state per diem is $80 a day, and if we wanted to give 95 a day, we couldn't do it because the initiative specifically designated in there per diem a state employee.
I don't think you're foreclosed from changing that, but I think that you would be well advised to develop good reasons why you did it, why you made a change.
So do it within moderation or something.
Right. I think that if you could tie it to some quantifiable formula or reason or basis for raising it to the federal limit, then that's certainly going to help the defenders in court of upholding what you've done if it becomes a question of litigation determining that it should be taken off the ballot.
I suppose you'd have to determine why would a legislator be entitled to 105, a state employee is only entitled to 80 or something, too, which might be a bigger picture you're opening up to.
State employees have 100.
They what?
100.
Well, what
state
I didn't
employees have $100 a day?
Per diem?
I don't know if I've ever seen $100 a day, but I think I see 80 some when I come to Anchorage.
Maybe you're making a mistake.
I'm in the wrong place.
All right, then, if I may, Mr. Phillips, do you have anything you wish to say? Mr. Phillips, are you there?
Per diem.
I would direct your attention then to the original current resolution that was passed in the House and the Senate. On page 10, or I mean on line 10, do you have that with you by chance? It says, whereas the legislature desires to encourage confidence and to streamline expenditures, etc. The other resolve on 13 comes down and says, all these things will happen under uniform rules. A House representative appointed by the Speaker of the House. This is our one charge, to examine legislative salaries per diem and allowances. Then go down to line 22, and the second charge is, be directed to compare the approach taken by the state regarding salaries with the approach taken by other states and to develop recommendations for reducing operating expenses. And the third one is to report its recommendations in the final, on the first day of the second session. That's what we're charged with. So I'll go back to what I said originally. On the scenario of the initiative, do we or do we not take a look at the folder that has in it these bills. It says retirement. I don't know how they got in there, but it's in the retirement deal. And we have three proposed bills, all of which have to do with the initiative. What can we put? Does the committee as a whole want to make recommendations? We are charged with it. Knowing, of course, that it will be challenged, I believe Mr. Baldwin has stated that. Can we move in that direction toward the initiative, substantially keeping in what the initiative wants, yet giving it and putting in some flexibility that the legislature wants, and hopefully that the courts and the Attorney General's office and the Lieutenant Governor will say that, yes, we have not exceeded our authority, if you will, and put a bill in. The question to my mind comes, do we put a bill in and have the legislature pass that bill, or do we ignore the bill and let the initiative go through? And I think that's exactly what we're talking about. How far do we want to go? We cannot go into the retirement because we're not charged with that. We cannot go into other pays such as the governor and everybody else because we're not charged with that. It just seems a shame to me that we're directed to do something only with the legislature when you look at the tons and tons of millions of dollars spent on other things that aren't even half as important as the legislature compared to the responsibilities that the legislature has. You've got media people in the state government making $60,000 a year or better. But the public is excited about this, and I guess we're charged with the responsibility of cutting the pay. That's the bottom line. Now, it's the committee's jurisdiction as to what approach shall we take.
As a public member on this committee, I feel that Garland and their duty if we fail to go into the specifics and to come up with recommendations to the legislature when they meet in January that are specific and that as carefully as we can, we try to provide them with recommendations that are going to fit into the comparison with the initiative in such a way that perhaps we'll get a favorable position or interpretation by the lieutenant governors, and that it would be strong enough that if the legislature passed the legislation, that it would eliminate the initiative come the election time. I feel that we need to do something. But I think we have the information that we need to evaluate. And if we're going to be coming out with recommendations that are contrary to what the public has feels about this thing, then and if we don't properly inform them, then we're going to have to take our bumps. But at the same time, I think something needs to be done, and I'm prepared to work with to whatever extent's necessary to try to come up with some recommendations that are favorable. And I really think that we do have the courts that will certainly be, if it gets to the court, they'll interpret this very liberally, because you're demonstrating by doing something like this, and the legislature following through, that that you're trying to do a job that's necessary, and you're taking into consideration all the facts that are there. I think you're going to create some credibility in the legislative process by doing so.
I believe you're absolutely correct, Mr. Chaptos. I think it's our duty to continue on. May I ask one question, Mr. Baldwin? Your opinion, what would be the best way to do it, through a constitutional amendment or through just a bill, a legislative bill, a joint resolution for both House and Senate?
Well, I don't know what you mean by the best way to do it. I would think that if you're going the constitutional amendment route, you're talking about proposing a resolution and getting it passed by the legislature and then submitting it to a vote of the people.
Excuse me, aren't you talking about the Salary and Emoluments Commission or the Charter Change?
I'm sorry?
Aren't you talking about the Salary and Emoluments Commission for the Charter Change? For the constitutional change? You're not talking about just the salary decrease going to the constitutional
itself.
As I understand the question, there is another route to do this. I think you certainly could do it by constitutional amendment.
We should do it by constitutional amendment. Is that what you're saying?
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that there is another way to influence or to establish the legislative pay, and that's certainly through amending the Constitution. But you're as familiar with that procedure as I am. It still involves a vote of the people.
That's right.
And it could be done in a way so that there's a constitutional amendment and the initiative on the ballot at the same time.
It's too late for that now, though, isn't it?
No, you'd have to get it passed and adopted. You have to get a resolution passed this session, and then it would be on the 1986 general election ballot.
Well, Mr. Chairman.
Senator?
For clarification purposes, please.
I don't think we have to use that anymore.
Yeah,
because
he's still on.
He is.
The question I have, Chairman, I thought I heard you say, was that we could establish a commission that does have authority to set the salary without a constitutional amendment?
Yes, Senator, I think you could. I think that, as was found in the voucher case, that there was enough power in the legislature to vary the subject matter of the initiative. And particularly in the voucher case, they changed a responsibility from being performed by an elected official to being performed by an appointed commission. So that's a major point of change. So it would seem to me that what we have here is a situation where, under the initiative, it's left to the legislature to set it by law, and there's limitations on that imposed by the Constitution of 2 years and amendment at any time, but still it's a matter for the legislature to enact. What you'd be proposing is that this be delegated to some third-party commission.
Yes.
So I don't see that as being something that would be precluded by the case of Warren v. Voucher. And that's all I can go on are these guideposts of these cases that are limited to the facts of the particular case before them, but yet somewhat helpful.
Then what I hear you saying, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that you feel the legislature has quite a bit of leeway in the legislation that they pass in the substantially similar field.
That's right, Senator. I think that the court is going to give the legislature reasonable power, in the words of the voucher case, to come up with alternative ways of solving the same problem that was identified in the initiative.
Could I ask a question? What the easiest way, then, is to take the initiative and just change, say, step A range 10 to something else, change the per diem part of the top for federal, and then we've even kept the same wording in the initiative and just changed the, have amended it, or the legislature would have amended it if they adopt our recommendation.
Well, speaking hypothetically, I don't think you could rule that out as being a possibility for taking it off the ballot. I think that the court's going to look at the reasonableness of the decision-making by the legislature in meeting the initial aims of the people when they propose the initiative petition. So I think that option is available. I think the main message I want to bring here today is that there's a wide range of solutions available to the legislature. I don't particularly agree with the advice from your counsel that your powers should be construed very narrowly in this regard, that the legislature's powers should be construed narrowly. I think that they will be construed broadly in the context of the issue that you're dealing with. And so, and I think it's a broad topic which involves a lot of considerations.
Just glancing through, I think our options are really three. The first one I totally disagree with, that we should do nothing. We leave everything up to the initiative. I think our other options are, is that we could create, say, a temporary or an interim committee until such times as constitutional amendment could be passed to establish a permanent committee and not give that committee any directions or anything else. Our third option would be to really come up with a comprehensive bill saying that we believe that the base salary should be this and that these should be the other compensations and that it should take effect if the people fail to pass the initiative. If the people pass the initiative, then that bill is dead and the legislature is bound by that comes forward.
I would disagree totally with your last...
I'm just saying these are alternatives.
I don't think that's an option for us to come up. I don't think you'll ever pass it to the legislature. For us to come up with a bill that takes effect if it doesn't pass. Because I think what we're really looking for is a bill that will fit the needs and avoid the initiative process.
Well, I guess if I may refine my statement when I say, let's draft a bill that fits the needs. Now, the needs might not conform to the initiative because it may not take the initiative off the ballot. But if we want to go into an election year, as a member of the legislature, I'd like to say, okay, the public, you know, it's this or this, and I can defend this.
Mr. Chairman, wouldn't it be the legislation then would be implemented subject to the initiative coming off the ballot? In other words, if you're going to decrease substantially the salary, you don't want it to go into effect if it's not going to remove the initiative. But if it goes into effect on the basis of the initiative being removed.
Either that, I think we could tie either that, or we could, you know, just simply amend the salary schedule, and that would take effect until such times as the determination was made whether it was substantial enough to take the question off the ballot or not.
It just seems to me that we've got to look at what this commission was established for to begin with. And we've got to go to exactly what it tells us to do. And I think the third option you have there, if we disregard and forget about the initiative, let's just forget about the thing. There it is. It's going to go to the public. It's on the ballot. So we put in a bill. Now, this isn't going to come up till next November, the ballot. But we go in the first session, recommend we have a bill all ready to go that says substantially the same with the changes that this committee feels that they want to have in there, regardless of what the initiative is. Run it through the Attorney General, run it through the Lieutenant Governor, and let them make the decision. Is it substantial enough to remove the initiative? That's their decision, not ours. Is it substantial enough or clean enough and good enough to remove the initiative from the ballot because it does conform to what it says? And let it go at that. And then put it through the House. Send it at the House. And let the chips fall where they may. Doesn't that seem like a reasonable
you
approach?
You explained my third option much better than I did.
What would you think? Does that make sense? We must conform to this regardless. Retirement, initiative, referendum, don't make any difference. This is what we've got to do right here. Without the outside influence of that initiative being on the ballot. That's a side issue.
Thank you. Well, I just wanted to respond to that. I think as you and I discussed in Juneau a couple of weeks ago, that's precisely what we were recommending to you, is that you just do what's right.
That's right.
And what you believe to be the appropriate solution for the problem. And we'll have to deal with it if it comes up. And it's a difficult legal problem, but it's still one that's not in the Lieutenant Governor's office. We could, and then when you're done with that, even if it's not taken off the ballot, you at least have a reasonable alternative that's the right one in the judgment of the legislature, and maybe that will influence the outcome of the vote.
Mr. Chairman. Please, Mr. Phillips, do you have any comments? Are you there, Randy, or not? I hear no response, Commissioner. Then. Okay, it's now 12 minutes after 12, 10 minutes after 12. I think, is there any question where we should be going? Can we approach this thing when we come back this afternoon?
Frank has something he wants to say.
Who? Oh, Frank, go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, I agree with what you're saying. I think that we should come up with what we think is a good package and make a recommendation to the legislature. We can draft that bill. We'll include those recommendations. And it's going to be distributed to the various committees of the House and the Senate. They're going to be look this thing over. We should point out to them that the question of substantial change is important. And that seems to me that during the process, before that bill ever comes back for consideration by either House, they're going to have a pretty good idea of whether or not it's going to meet the test of whether or not it's substantially changing and that sort of thing. So I really feel this way to go. I think it's our responsibility, by golly, to do something that's going to deal with the real issue and go in some way indicate to the public that this is a serious matter, that the legislature feels that way, and that this committee would try to. Members that are not members of the legislature agree on that. I think
that this is good. Then, when we come back after lunch, we'll start approaching it from that direction, and we will write our own bill, make our own recommendations. There's some bill stuff in here right now. We might figure out which way we're going to go and do it. Is there any objections from the committee?
Mr. Chairman, I don't object to that at all, and I'm sure that most members of this committee have formed some proposals or have some ideas of where they might go. And I think we just got to get down to work.
We'll go back to work at it. I'm not sure.
I can't get this thing.
Any objections? We're in recess till 1:30.
We have lunch.
None of them can go home. They've got to stay there.
in session, what should be the...
They don't have to stay there. They can't fly and go out.
But that's at their expense. But the per diem should be different. Those guys have lived there that long.
Well, what was it, 45 a day?
The only exception I'd say is for those of them who live in juvenile and travel up a year for a special fee.
No, wait, what I didn't say yet.
Oh,
no, I didn't talk about it. I'm talking during the session, in the session, in Juneau.
Okay, fine.
Juneau. It should be. Thank you. It should be.
But those, I think Boone has a point. That per diem that we set for in session should be the per diem that applies to those people who are working within their communities on the interstate.
Yeah, I agree with Mitchell. Let's get this settled. Then we'll get to that next.
Let's go ahead. See, we've got about a whole bunch of steps to go through before we come up to the different per diem. So other than the three people, let's take the three people that are down there that live in Juneau, any legislator that lives in Juneau, during the session, federal per diem rate for Alaskan City's current is under the 8th of July. Anchorage is $116, Juneau $109, Fairbanks $104, Barrow $139, Kodiak $129, Sitka $113, Valdez $100. Why have we got the difference? You mean to tell me that the federal employees, that if the guy lives in Barrow, he gets, on the fed side, he gets $139 per diem?
Now, if he lives there, he's not getting any per diem.
If he travels to there.
Because it's more expensive to go home.
Yeah,
you know, cheapest hotel in the country.
Chairman, I think we ought to consider for them as reimbursements for travel, and except probably when we had the situation in Juneau during the session. But beyond that point, when we get back home, I think we ought to start thinking about compensation.
But no, wait, no, Frank, we're into only one thing.
Okay, for them.
When we get down there in January,
right,
and I moved down to January, just like everyone else does, with the exception of those guys that live in Juneau. They come up from Sitka, they come up from, Ziggy goes into a hotel, Ziggy, we all got a place to go
in.
Now, we've got to pay. How much do you think
goes? I would suggest, first of all, this is a premise that for those who live in Juneau, right now they get 50% of what those who do not live in Juneau get. So, I've never heard anybody complain as well
they have
in that. So I would say, as a suggestion, that the per diem should be whatever the federal per diem rate is for that community is not. If Juneau's on this list,
Juneau's $109.
And those who live in Juneau will get 60% of that.
I think you got a good idea. So we can defend that.
In town gets, 60% of 105
for you? Come up with.
Yeah,
how much?
$65.40.
$65, right? All right, let's leave it at that. Okay, so per diem's $109 a day. That'll go for full 120 days. That goes. Now, if we're in session. All right, we're in session. Those three guys got to come up from Juneau to Anchorage for a meeting. Or I have to come back to Anchorage again for a meeting. Let's say me, who live in Anchorage, I still should get $65.
You should get 60% of the Anchorage per diem, which is $116.
Mm-hmm. 60 times 6.
No.
60 times 6.
No, you're not looking at it. I'm back in my hometown.
Right.
But I live in my hometown.
Right.
If I had to travel to Juneau, I'd get out there. If I lived in Anchorage.
If you're going to pay Juneau people 60% that live in Juneau, you should pay the Anchorage people 60%.
Absolutely.
So I would be getting 60% of $116.
$9.06.
I think that's good.
I think we have two things.
I think we've got to come to it.
Mitch, for example,
an average,
in the case of official work, you have to come back to Anchorage, his hometown, for a committee hearing, or you may have to go to Fairbanks for a committee hearing. And I think this is one of the areas where there were abuses before under the old system. I think if you draw a per diem rate, one area that should be it, anything else should be actually paid for. So if you have to come back to Anchorage and you're doing $50 for your airfare, you rent out your house or something, I don't know if you did or not, you have to stay at a hotel or that point, stay at home,
You mean during the interview?
No, I mean during the session.
No, when I come home, I live at home. Why should I get 65 hours for it?
Well, maybe not everybody does that.
I'm saying you should get what your actual expenses are.
When I go home, my house is closed up, locked up, down. I cannot pay my rent cost to keep it, somebody to care for it, but I don't go into it because I got no electricity. Now, just this year. But I think my per diem, if I travel during session to my town, I am receiving per diem already. And I don't think I need per diem.
Well, you mean you're receiving your journal per diem?
Yeah.
Well, you shouldn't get a dish.
No. Oh, I don't mean, yeah, that's well, right. Well, that's right. That's
I think that'd be the same thing with Mitch coming up here for funeral. During the session,
okay, if we
you
take
funeral per diem.
You come away from the session and go to Anchorage, you should get the same per diem as gone to funeral.
Well, that's what we're saying, you know.
Yeah.
It should not be over the book.
No, but in the interim, then within your own community, that's what it's going to require.
Why don't you take a look at it from this direction? You've got Anchorage, Juneau, Fairbanks, Barrow, Kodiak, and Kentucky. You've covered pretty much the whole standard, right? And there are seven of those, and there are differences. You take an average of those, it's $100. That's what it turns out to be.
Maybe more than that.
Well,
I think we're worried about three people, in my estimation.
Yeah.
To me, all the rest of us are receiving full per diem of Juneau. If we're in Anchorage, then we receive Anchorage per diem. But as far as I'm concerned, when I'm in the legislature, whatever I'm drawing for that per diem, cover me up here. And the ones we have to worry about then are Gilray, Duncan, and Miller. If they come up here, their per diem should certainly be the cost of this per diem, not 60%.
Either that or select one per diem. If you select 109 or whatever, why don't we just select
stay with
per diem? You know, federal per diem.
You're going to have a nightmare otherwise.
Mr. Chairman, the best way, if you're getting per diem, you look at it every week because that's for the second home. That if you travel during the session, you should be, well, right now what the situation is, you get your actual expenses. One thing you do not have to figure out is you'll be filling your meal. You can spend a maximum of $31 a day for meals.
But go back to the way it was before. You've got your full per diem when you left Germany.
Right. In other words, you got per diem twice.
No.
No.
If you're in Wausau on business for 3 days, you just still withdrew your regular per diem from Juneau.
Well, what I'm saying, 2 years ago, I never get home, so I don't know. But let's say, for example, that you got an $8 a day to Juneau, and I travel to Fairbanks on a committee meeting. Should do $80 a day then, too, so it's $160.
No. I don't think you should.
Well, I don't think so either.
No. I think we should set for diem during session and a rate and then take a
better rate. One per diem.
That's right.
You only got one per diem. You got that $80 a day.
Yes. Well, that point I'm trying to make is I still got the expense of home, whatever it is, down there in
Juneau.
And if I'm on an official assignment with a committee, say in Fairbanks, I think expense, period.
I agree with that. Your hotel bill should be paid.
Of course, one of the things we can do by it is to make sure that all the legislators stay there during the session.
No way.
Well, you can't tell me.
No way. You're out of your mind. They kill us.
You don't have to get insulted.
The only reason they go home is to make a pitch to their constituents so they can
have a lot of leeway in the city.
No, I just...
It's
120 days rounded off. It actually comes up to $119.95. On an average of the deal, it comes up to a rounded up figure of $120. That should be, I would think that would be the deal. Now, if any guy leaves out of there and he's got to come home, then he gets expenses. That kind of clears it up. Because expenses in Fairbanks are going to be maybe a little bit more than they are in Anchorage or vice versa. So, and if you do come up, who pays for it? You come up on committee work, okay? But if you come up on committee, then your transportation is paid for out of your committee funds or out of the legislative funds we have. But, and then when you have to stay at a hotel, but just for your expenses, your food and your lodging, that's all you really need, or any transportation involved. That clears it up for everyone.
Lodging and transportation.
And that's what it is now. I don't see any.
Yeah,
I think
they're drawing your per diem for the day, but the legislature is in session.
Draw your $120 a day for the days that you're in session. And of course you get...
What's the $120?
Yeah, the average of the seven cities that are different from the federal. Remember that I told you what it was?
Yeah.
should have taken that because you got Barrow and you got Kodiak in there that have high ones, and you don't. How many times do you go in there compared to?
I don't think we should go over the game, whatever the do.
All right, that's $109. Ladies and gentlemen, please stand at ease for a moment. I believe your meeting is up on the second floor.
Can you go outside a minute? Yes, you have to go up the elevator.
Can we come back to order, please?
Just let me draw the...
Take care of that, please. CD1P. Would you
just run them up? A comment for consideration. I know it's 120 days when you're actually in session. It's like if you're going to prepare adequately for surgery, you're going to finish up your work when you're done. You almost got to be there a week before or a week after. And I think...
Well, there's 3 days there.
Well, there's 3 days to travel. I'm saying is, you really have to be there. You have to get the office set up, staff set up. You get some time in the day of session. So I think if we're going to encourage everyone to be ready so that we can meet the 120-day deadline, then we're going to have to recognize a little bit that something is going to encourage someone to every week ahead to get things done.
Before going further, I'd like to know if I see representatives of the various joint.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I can't stay very long.
Okay, what's the pleasure of the committee?
It was my understanding that Marco had a statement he wanted to propose.
Is that true?
Mr. Chairman, if I might, I'd like to discuss the issue a little bit. Are we on teleconference?
No, we're on record. So
okay. I have an idea for a different approach.
Your name and the record, please. Thank you.
Okay, I'm... Representative Marco Pignalbury from East Anchorage. Some time ago in discussions with people on the pay raise issue, we developed, I won't say it's my brainchild, a very radically different approach to legislative pay. I sounded out a few legislators about it, and I've got a real thumbs down reaction. And I just kind of put it to bed because I thought some other solution would be put forward that would make everybody happy, but apparently that hasn't happened yet, so I just would like to share it with you, and I'll leave it with you, and if you think it has merit, please, it's yours, please follow it up. The idea is that we might let the private sector determine what a legislator's compensation is, and the mechanism would be that when a person is elected, he submits his W-2s for the last 3 years, say. Take any number, years, 1 year, 2 year, 3 years, up to five maybe. And then you pay that legislator an average of, or the high year or the low year, but let's say an average of what that person has been making in the private sector prior to the time legislative service begins. Now, not everyone comes to the legislature from the job market, so people who may have been homemakers or have been retired or for any reason have not been drawing salaries, we obviously should have a floor at some amount determined by a compensation commission or the legislature, but something that could be written into the bill. So you'd have a floor below which nobody would earn less. And then we may have millionaires in the legislature, and we can't afford to pay millionaires, so we'd obviously have to have a ceiling. And I don't pretend to know what that ceiling ought to be. And it's a simple concept, and I just would throw it out for your consideration, Mr. Chairman.
My first impression would be that I'd hate to be sitting against Ron here, who was at the top of that cap, and I was at the low part of the cap. We both got elected by the public. I don't think I'd like to have them sitting there making a lot more money than I do, doing the same job, same group. I think that would be unfair. Would be also a restrictive on the so-called millionaire, on what he would earn. And yet it would be far, I think it would be unfair to the guy that made $10,000 a month that got elected. And all he could make was that piece of cash. I just think that would be so inadequate for everybody that it's still pretty close. I'm not sure that's my first thing. Anyone else like to make a comment?
How would you budget in an election year, not knowing who's going to be there?
Chairman, this is a suggestion that someone had made of the college choice, too. And I really didn't have an answer. bad time either. I think it's an intriguing idea. However, I think it will probably be inherently unfair to the members of the legislature. Even if you have a city, you are board. Perhaps you're more possible.
George, excuse me. We'll stand at ease for a second. We've got a parking problem out here. George, you've got permission to park there, yes?
Oh, you said,
did we check it out?
I am not going to be talking about gross or net.
Gross. But again, I mean, that, it could be, the principle is just the concept of gearing legislative pay to, indexing it to what the person made earlier, with a floor and a ceiling to it, so we can contain it.
Well, if we have that prerogative, if we have that prerogative to even consider it, we do not have the option, we don't have the prerogative to consider that suggestion. Because we're not charged to do that, we're charged with certain things according to the bill. There is initiative aboard, and therefore we can't go substantially beyond that. That would be a direct, I think that would be a departure from something that no one's ever thought of, and a departure from what we've got, and we would be allowed to do it to begin with to throw it out anyway, we'd be wasting our time. Maybe we consider it, maybe that nature. That's what we're about.
Chairman, I have a couple of questions. One is, I'd be a little concerned about the people who are involved in drug tests, but on the other hand, I'd like to ask you, we have discussed here a recommended base salary of, I think, 5 out of 6 of us would agree at about $30,000 a year. What would be your response to that? Plus per diem, plus per diem.
Mr. Williams, I can honestly say that I really haven't studied the matter to know what a fair base salary ought to be or what criteria we should use in establishing it. This is not an issue that I've given a lot of thought to. I happen to be one who thinks that the pay raise that was passed last time was done in the wrong way and it ought to be repealed because of that. And I've introduced legislation to establish an emoluments commission like the municipality of Anchorage has, and I think that's the best way to do it. But I've given no thought to what floors or ceilings ought to be on legislative pay.
But you do think probably going to the commission, I guess.
Or the process. I think what the public wants is a procedure where the legislature's not directly setting its own pay.
Question to the chair. Marco, can you live on the salary you're making right now?
No, I can't.
Go ahead.
One of the things we're considering, Marco, is the base salary. But we know that there are varying responsibilities among the 60 people. The president, the senate, speaker, majority leader, minority leader, chairman of different committees, and so forth. Do we have a base salary plus certain amount for those various positions of responsibility that we require additional time to work, not only during the session, but also during the interview?
Well, Mr. Chairman, that idea rubs me the wrong way because I happen to think I work harder than some committee chairman. And I think either we peg it to something neutral like what the private sector said, but we don't peg the pay to what position you have in the pecking order because that is not determined by anything except political caprice. And that puts the minority... Yeah, that puts the minority at a distinct disadvantage. I mean, I don't think compensation for ought to be tied to committee chairmanship. Seems to.
I'm just giving that as an example, but I didn't mean that those weren't the only examples. And I did bring it up that we had to be able to address the minority situation so that the party in opposition, say, quote unquote, had an equal opportunity to serve its position during the
What do you think of the idea of compensation in lieu of per diem, for example, when you're per diem would be travel, for example, to attend intercommittee meetings and that sort of thing. But where you have an office in your hometown and you have to perform be at that office, that sort of thing, what about in addition to the salary for any member of the legislature who is attending his office? And there's some ground rules to be set up so that we avoid abuse of that. I'm thinking in terms of what I'm suggesting is perhaps a compensation that would reimburse you for the time that you spent, a reasonable amount of time in your office, or above the
salary. In other words, you don't have to be a committee chairman necessarily. But if you are a committee chairman, then there could be, and I think what we're talking about here is a lump sum on top of the base salary to recognize the responsibility of the chairman. But even though you're not a chairman, if you do perform services, you must get some compensation, $100, $200, or something of that sort, that would provide you with additional compensation to compensate for what you do, and also that would also apply to the minority members as well. They would receive that too. So.
Overtime, but not a time and a half.
Well, something like that. That's right.
Well, Frank, Mr. Chairman, if I may, the comment I have to that is, again, I'm very sensitive to being in the minority because someone, especially when you're in the minority, has to prove whether or not you can check in for the day at your office and get compensated for it. And someone will place a ceiling on whether for the minority and the majority it may differ. You might have different ceilings as to how many days and how much money you can charge against this time you put in at your office in the interim. A very good example right now is the staffing situation in the House, where minority House members get a half-time secretary for the range 17, and the majority members get a full-time range 19. Now, the inequities, I think, are just that. They are inequities, and as long as you leave it up to the political system to determine the compensation, you're always going to have the inequity because of the powers, somebody's in power, somebody's out of power.
Okay. Thank you very much for giving me
Thank you for allowing me to discuss this matter with Mr. Chairman, members.
Where we were, we've established that we're talking about the premium now, and I believe we've come to $109 per day, period.
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
Every one thing to your attention, and that is that with our charge, keeping in mind that charge, for the $30,000 base, and $109 per day for 120 days, come out with a salary of $43,080 before you start looking at any compensation of the damn gentleman.
$42,000. Again, I'm going to suggest that the per diem be for 130 days, at least 5 days before and 5 days after. You know, for those who are $43,040 for that, I'll make $100 even if that's good enough to pay.
The more we look at this, the more I think what you guys really did on the pay bill was something to the opinion. You did an excellent job. It was an ideal program that solved everything. But somebody started something against it.
Well, really, the 46 saves the state money.
And it does. It's very simple. It's easy to keep track of.
So, Mr. Chairman, I think what Ron said is true in a lot of people's minds, especially in retirement. More upset than that than they are maybe on the salary, but there's a lot, still a lot of talk on the salary too. But I think that's what bugged them when the fact figures came back that it's not costing you anymore. The fact was you doubled your pension or tripled your pension.
But George, that's a misnomer too, because it really did with the per diem situation. Before we went on this salary, the 2 years before that, I made $55,000 a year.
That was counting towards your retirement.
I thought it didn't. The only thing that came out of that was the per diem. But when it was set for income tax purposes, the W-2 form said $55,000. Now, is not your retirement set on your earnings?
No.
On your salary, not on your reimbursement.
What is that figure again? That range 22?
I mean,
that range 10, step 8?
About 24.
Mr. Chairman has a suggestion. I don't think when we're referring to per diem, we should refer to an actual dollar level. I think we should say whatever the federal per diem is, dollar or up, or cost of levy.
Well, that is responsible.
You can base it on that, and if it goes, and by the same token, if you assess it on your last 80 days, that would cut down the total cost. It's really no different from what it is now, other than my suggestion, cut the time you can. What it is now, as I understand, you can be in general up to 10 days looking for a house before the session on a year. $10,000 in arrangement, but that's still out of your pocket.
No, under the present
we get per diem up to
10 days.
Oh, I see.
And I'm just saying that...
Right, you don't get any for
oh, sure.
Not during the session.
But before the session?
Yeah, see it?
Yeah.
You go to June?
Yeah. You can claim up to 10 days.
What?
If you're looking for a house.
But after the 10 days, you can't claim it.
Well, that's right.
10 days.
So what I'm just saying is that... what this would be actually is allow a maximum of 3 days of 12 hours and a maximum of 5 days of 20 per diem.
Please stand easy. We got a little problem here.
We got a parking situation out back.
Okay, 5 before, 5 after, okay? Or any way you want to take it. And that comes up to $14,170, or a total amount of money of $35,254. That's when you're in session. That's what that amounts to. Now, when I come home during the interim period, or a meeting, it's either on my own nickel, or it's on the committee's. And if I'm going to have a committee meeting up here, and the committee comes up, or any member of it, then the transportation is paid for out of the committee, okay? Now, when I come home, I used to draw per diem at the lower rate of 60%, and within the deal it so states that at the, what was that that's got in there? I can't remember the language, but anyway, there's two different types. Now, I'm not so sure that when I come home, I'm going to eat at home, I'm going to sleep at home. However, as Betty said, there are some people that close their homes up, and if they got to, she's got to back to Fairbanks again, she's got to stay at a hotel. Maybe just expenses would be good enough when you come back home.
Well, we're still going $109 a day.
But don't forget,
we don't expect
if you're still drawing the $109 a day, I think you ought to get it whether you come home or whether you don't. Because those expenses in Juneau continue to go whether you're here or you're not here. They
you
know, still
pay the many cover actual expenses when they travel up here.
And that's all that it should be.
That's all it should be.
That's what I think.
And that's easy bookkeeping. Just turn your money into the committee, and the committee pays for it. That's where the money comes.
$200 a month per diem. So I don't see any problem to give them a base salary, and the per diem would be the federal rate, which is currently $109 a session. On traveling, while they're in session, it's actually expensive.
That's right.
I'll agree with that.
And during
all
the interim,
you have to deal with
all
the
One thing I think we have to bring up our discussion here, too, is our home nine. The legislators do get $4,000. $4,000 is to help cover quote unquote expenses, whether it be your stationery, your postage, or whatever. Betty's concern, I think, is very valid. When you're back home, you shouldn't be covered in per diem. However, when you're back home, there are still probably many meetings in the district and you can have transportation and so forth. Is $4,000 adequate to cover all of those things or not?
I don't think it's adequate, but I still think that's part of my job. And if we set the base at 30, we will still be drawing federal per diem in the summer as we work on committee workshops out of town, will we not?
No, I would think so.
So you're going to be adequately covered. You're not going to, per diem is not going to pay your expenses where you are. But a lot of times, like when I come down here, I work on federal rural hotel. I have friends and I don't stay there. So, no matter what my expenses are, I'll come out all right.
Okay, now let's look at it from another direction. I come home, we've got this whole thing put in there at $109 a day, and we've got the, I don't know what the salary now you've got, I guess the $30,000 she's done about, or $2,500 is the case maybe, or $2,180. And I come home. Now, with that kind of money, I'm going to have to augment my income. So every time I go to a hearing like this that's all day, do I get paid for this or not? Or is this on my own? Considering the fact that if I take the time off from my job, or anybody else does, they probably won't get paid for that job unless the boss says, well, you're a legislator, so I guess you can go ahead.
The reason I would suggest setting the salary at least $30,000 is to that. You get $109 while you're in Juneau, but I think that's kind of a wash because it's going to cost you $109 in Juneau. But then we have this $4,000 expense. $4,000 enough. Maybe we should recommend that for $6,000. So then you're I think we're off. Actually, you're going to get 30,000 a day plus 6,000. That should cover you one of the
goals. I think we're off. Let me go back one step. Keep that in mind, if you will. But I want to take you back one step. This committee today. This committee has X number of dollars for this committee. We paid your way up here. We paid your way up here. George doesn't get to do the squat. Now then, you get your hotel room paid for. If you stay and you have one, then you get your hotel paid for. Your meals. You submit your bills to me and you get reimbursed for those meals through the committee. We don't do that. What do we do?
They get the standard $80 a day for the meal. They can put in for it or not. They all put it up.
Well, they get the standard $80 or standard. Actual expenses, whichever is higher.
Chairman, you're not receiving anything at all for this today. That's why I say, I don't see anything wrong with $45,000 or $46,000 personally. I think if we can make it too palatable by setting maybe a base of 30, and then paying compensation for the services like you performed today, that if you work at this...
How are you going to find that?
Well, that's the point. I mean, I think there ought to be some way to avoid any abuse of that. I don't like to see per diem being used to compensate you for the extra work you do. On the other hand, you could probably make more than $48,000 or $46,000 with the amount of time that you put in, as long as it's justified and that you're actually serving in that capacity. Well, I don't want to see it as an abuse of it. But if you get compensation, then you're going to get yourself back up to where you were. But you're the guy that's doing the work, and if somebody over here that's got an office or somebody's out in the bush isn't doing anything, I don't think.
Well, let me ask you a question, and on my colleagues. I have an office here because it's an interim office, and I'm in the majority. If I was in the minority, I would not have an office. I would not be a chair. Now we're dealing with the political end of this thing.
Well,
yet in the same token, if I'm on a committee, if somebody else on my committee is on my committee, they've got to spend some time on the committee, too.
Well,
so should they be compensated?
Well,
how?
Well, I feel I can think that you should be compensated for attending an interim committee meeting out of town. Besides your per diem.
Okay, now I've got to go to Fairbanks here next week. Be up there for 2 days.
Right.
I've got to stay there for 2 nights.
You're only getting 30,000 now under the new arrangement or what we're proposing. So if you go up there for 2 days, you're entitled to something for that. In addition to your expenses.
Should we pay them based on the 30,000? That's so many dollars a day, I've figured out. They'd be paid for days they attend special sessions based on how much a day, $30,000.
Or per diem at $109.
Yeah.
But I know what's going to cost them, but they're paying for hotels.
But see, the argument you're going to get is that you're being paid 8 months and you're in session 4 months. I'm just saying the argument you're getting. So it seems to me that if you had to go to Fairbanks and conduct official business up there, then you ought to be paid actual expenses. The per diem out of it.
Well, per diem is while you're in the session.
Huh?
While you're in the session.
No, this is out of session. Out of session.
Could we do something like this? This is during the interim. That a legislator, and this could be full time some other place, but they could claim up to $50 a day or $75 a day or $100 a day, whatever you want to make, say for loss of potential compensation due to having carried forth legislative duties. Now, that legislative duties might be Mitch working down here in his office all day preparing for this meeting tomorrow.
I think you're asking for trouble.
That's where
we got so darn much trouble on the other system. People go in their office for an hour and claim a day's per diem. But I think Lou came up with the right idea. If we're working here all day, then we should be paid our expenses. We're already being paid our salary.
But if you're in your hometown, you're being compensated on a monthly basis. Or that's what you're saying. I'm a full-time legislator. That's why they're compensating me. It's not for the 120 days you're in Juneau.
I'm talking about when I'm not in my
hometown. Oh, no, I agree with that. Oh, yeah. Okay. I thought you were talking about if you went into your office in your hometown. You wanted to...
Hell no. That's my job.
Okay. Well, that's right.
As far as the minority not having offices, I was a minority of the minority. The only female there in Major North, hot and heavy for 2 damn years. But I sure had an office at home, and I paid for it.
Out of your own pocket?
You convention.
Well, this is where I think the 30,000 plus boost that 4,000 up to 6, that gives the 36,000. I should take care of anybody at home. And then your per diem on your funeral or on a special session or a special trip somewhere.
So if you take 30,000,
make it real simple.
Then if you take 30,000 move, you take the 6,000 plus 36,000, then you add another 14,000 to it. Back up to where the hell we are now.
Let's
go
legislators would also be allowed to maintain up to 5 days for active time they spent in general before each session and after each session. Or if you need it to prepare the military session or...
Heard the motion. Is there any objection?
It says 5 days before and 5 days after. Mm-hmm. If they're actually there, they can sign up for that.
And with a maximum of 120 days.
It would be maximum 120
days. Yeah, but I mean the max of 120 day session.
Yeah,
no.
But if it's less than that, the session was 110 days. The 110 days. So
it's less than 10. Yeah. Are there any objections to the motion? Hearing none.
I'll move that actual expense, the expense allowance be raised from $4,000 to $6,000.
Are there objections?
Thank you.
Well, I don't know what the justification is for it. That question is raised now. What is $4,000 for? People say postage and stuff like that.
You recognize, if I may, how much it costs me to send a constituent mail. That's what this thing is for. How much it sends, how much it costs to have them printed and just the postage alone. We're talking $20,000. Literature. And to keep my constituents in my district only apprised of what's happening. And you've got to do that at least twice, minimum of twice. Did you say, buddy? During the session. And after the session, if you still want to get re-elected, you better let them know what the hell you're doing also during the end of the period.
Well, I look at it a little different, Mitch. Anytime a legislator is sending literature out to his constituents, I feel he's running for office. So, I'm not very sympathetic there, but I am sympathetic on the fact that you have to maintain an office here and come in. Although you live in Anchorage, you still have a lot of work to do in an office here. My idea of the $6,000 is that you and Betty and John Sundahl catch a can. That's to help pay you for the work you have to do in your committee and the interim
station.
But they
don't pay for everybody. See, the state pays for all of that. No.
If I may say, in my own...
They don't pay your time.
No.
If you're in the interim, for example, I have an awful lot of miles. I maintain an office, the LIO office in Priscilla. I need a trip or two out there every day. I see my office in Palmer. I go to community council meetings up in Delphine, or Petersville, or Chief Mountain. There's an awful lot of transportation that's covered under the 4,000. Like postage, stationery, telephone calls that you make during the interim.
In addition to that, George, if I have to come home for one reason or another, that's not on committee work, but on constituent work, if you will, that comes out of that $4,000, that's $200-some-odd of round trip. Even though I stay at home, I got to pay for it.
Well, the thing is, you talk about mailing Clarkson's in my district, the Fisher's in my district, Josephson in my district, they're all very active political activists, and I don't get mailing from them. And maybe they have a select mailing list or something, but they don't mail anything. I get one from Euling, but usually it's the year that he's up for re-election, not the year that he's re-election. And, you may mail that many out, but how many others?
May I ask if you're coming down to the election?
Well, that's what he said. He kind of said he sent out a blanket mailing for 20,000. You don't have 20,000 inquiries you're answering.
We have POM. I received... over 5,000 POMs in 1 week. Mail that I sent out from my office concerning my committee work is already paid for. That is not
paid for the chairman of the committee?
Yes. Well, that comes out of your committee expense.
Comes out of the 4,000 committee expense?
Committee expense. Now, anything that I mail that's not related to committee is considered political. If it's a mailing like he's talking about, I pay for that out of political account. I don't use my expenses and my 4,000 expenses for that. But my 4,000 expenses was gone before the start of the second month, even during the legislature.
I just don't believe you can take $3,048,000 and increase it to $3,370,000 and think you're going to get around the initiative.
I don't think so either.
So then, if that's what you were trying to direct it to, then fine. If you don't care about the initiative, you want to propose it, and you're still going to see an initiative, then I think we ought to say that's what we're doing. Well, I thought that's what we agreed beforehand when we started this
by the initiative and anything that we're going to try to come up with, we consider a fair compensation for the leaders. That's really the only reason I'm going to the panel. I mean, I think we just got to come up with something we think is fair.
Let me get very low down here. You know, there's four or six of them. But the average letter, and I think most letters are all steel. It's about 42 to 44 cents per letter, but it comes on the same station being the first consumer. Definitely too much. Well, it comes from the ground kind of better than the
pump. So that's the way you stand.
Yeah, that's true. But I'm saying the stationery and the envelopes and the stamps and paper are there.
But you still go back to what the legislature said in this bill, and that's to examine legislative salaries per diem and allowances and to try to find to streamline it and reduce the operating costs.
I think we can reduce operating costs per diem.
I'd like to hear something like that then. If you can show me where you're going to recommend some other decreases in the operating costs, I'll be more than willing to accept some of this other. But if we're just going to address this and send down a higher bill than we presently have, I can't buy it.
I don't have to get information, I guess, at this point in time. I'm really confused. If I'm a member of the minority, and I'm not a committee chairman or that sort of thing, and I come back to my hometown, you can tell me that I have to pay out of that $4,000 for the expense to rent over an office and for the people that work for me and all that sort of thing? Well, how is it? How does it all come together? Who pays for that office?
That's one area where I really need to address, because I think that she serves in minority times and I did too. Right now, of course, we use the LIO office in our district. That means there aren't any additional costs. Whatever rent is for the LIO office, it doesn't cost any more to have.
What is the LIO office?
That's for me. I like rent here.
Okay, all right.
Now, on election years, we're not allowed to use the information office. So we do have some information in our office.
You could use the Corvette, that is it?
No.
Is Boucher a chairman?
Boucher is chairman of the telecommunications
special. That's an interim, but he's not a standing chairman.
No, but his committee has the funding provided for the use.
Well, now, who pays for the staff? Well, Betty said that she had some ideas of where to cut some other costs. I'd like to hear them, because I don't know. They're legislators, and they know better than I do. But we're not cutting any costs. We're increasing them. And if there's something that can be done to cut it, I'd like to hear it myself. That's why I can't agree if we're increasing costs, if there's some area where we can cut. Legislators have to tell us more than we do as publicmen.
I think there's a hell of a lot of places you could cut. I'm not talking about legislative salaries. I still think as long as you've got a $30 million annual budget, there's someplace along the line you can reduce costs. And I just can't believe that we need all of that input and all of that research and all the other things we're getting, and that we can't cut costs. But we're not charged with going back into the details of the budget and trying to reduce the other expenses. We're just talking, I know, about legislative salaries. On the other hand, I think the people in Alaska resented the way in which this thing was put together. They didn't really understand what they were doing. It's probably the best deal in the world if you stop to think about it. But if you reduce the base salary by $30,000, to $30,000, you're going to reduce the impact of the pension, at least as time goes on. That's one thing. And that's one of the things I think that bothers people. They say, well, you got a big salary, so now, you're going to get a big pension sometime in the future. And I've had people tell me, I'm not concerned about the level of the salary, but I don't like the idea of that actually impacting the retirement. And so I don't really think we have a big problem as far as the level and whether the total expenditures are a few $100,000 over or below. So I think it's a concept. I mean, if we should recommend a reduction in that base salary and then compensate it with the per diem, we're going to come out about the same, I know.
Except that the public's well aware that all the presently under their vested at the high salary or will be by the end of 1986. Well, they'll have their high 3 years.
Yeah, well, like, what you can, nothing we can do about that as far as I can see. Even if they've got 2 years and then the low year, they're still going to have a pretty good deal. They've got
what,
left behind.
No matter what we do, we'll have to have retirement.
And the public can't change it by referendum.
That's right. But if you can do it, reduce down the salary to $30,000 against 46.8, that will reflect in the retirement in the future years. And that's a reduction.
You're increasing it from what, 21 of the, what, 30?
9.1 to $9,000.
What was the percentage of 21?
It was 22,000.
21,084. Pre-1982 here.
I don't have any problem with the $6,000 additional. In other words, you have 36,000, you got 6,000 expenses, 30,000 base salary, and 14,000 for legislators' attendance expenses. You're up to $50,000. Right now, we're at 50,800 under the present arrangement, which includes $4,000 for expenses. But I think we have to deal with this problem of the minority member, and why is there a discrimination between that's what bothers me.
But question, frankly, the point we're trying to make is that I don't think this committee should be worried about the minority members. That is for the legislature itself. That is up to the majority. They're the ones with uniform rules. They have their rights there. That's what the whole Mason's Manual is about, to protect the minority. And I don't think that anyone here sitting at this table should be monkeying around with what the legislature really does as far as minority goes. That's up to them. Now you're talking political. You're talking pure politics, and that's what it is. You've got either the Republicans are in and the Democrats are out. In either case, one of them's going to be the minority. And that goes back to the 21 votes in the House and the 11 votes in the Senate. And that's what you're
talking about. Then we ought to have a party primary once again, and then we'll have some Democrats and Republicans. I don't think we have either one of them.
Well, that's another thing we call
it. I agree with you there, but that's a primary.
We have treated since the Republicans got in, we treated the Democrats very fairly in the House. They're the first ones to admit. That's why the coup started, because their own people couldn't handle it. So they came to us and said, fine. Then we got the chairs. Then we started. Then we gave them staff. Gave them all the things that they rightfully deserve because they're...
Bet you could be starting one hell of a goddamn argument on that.
I
don't agree with you in any shape, sense, or form of that.
Well, you weren't in the House then.
I know exactly what caused the House coup. And it wasn't a goddamn thing to do with the Republican or Democrat. It was Bush Congress.
If
you want to get that shit, we'll get into it.
We won't divorce that. We won't get into that.
Mr. Chairman, good. Additionally, you were talking about additional compensation for the Speaker and for the President and maybe for the Committee Chairman. Have we thrown that out the window now, or is that going to be another?
Well, we haven't gotten by of the year.
Well, you have to
get through with that. That's going to go back.
Well, I know it is. That's why I'm bringing it up, because this is something that's been discussed, and you're $332,000 over now, which you were. And,
well,
are you
going to
throw that in, too?
Personally, I don't think going back to the 383 pay schedule is fair or adequate payment under the conditions that we live in today. Economic situation we have, cost of living in this country, I don't think it's adequate, because I think if we go back to that, just like the initiative wants us to do, and if that's the way it goes, you're going to find out that these legislators are going to come back in 120 days, and at the 121st day, if you have a problem, they're going to say, see me next January, and I'll take care of your problem for you.
They won't be back
in here.
Going
out to work.
What you're going to lose is your quality legislators.
That's exactly what they're going to lose.
Well, you still have the Zigglers, the Crutulas, and the Rays.